Hey, this is Tanya with Ryo Shikaze and Force Stealer from thelivestream.net giving a fan commentary on Last Order Final Fantasy VII. Head over to thelivestream.net for the most exclusive translations about the compilation of Final Fantasy VII and much more. Okay, first for a starting point, I have my video on 15 seconds. That should probably be our starting point.
I have it on 00.00, but that might be your 15 seconds, because that's exactly when the Square Enix logo starts.
Yeah, mine says 00.00.15.
Anyways, let us get started and cease the excessive shifting, because it's all getting picked up. So let us start in 3, 2, 1, click!
Alright, let's get this show on the road.
Square.
Awesome. Madhouse.
Yes, that is where all these people belong. I've seen their other works.
Well, they did Case of Denzel as well, right?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't Madhouse.
Yeah, who was it? It was,
Then we should be talking about Zack and Cloud in the forest right now.
We should be. Don't have time to rest.
I sometimes wondered, is Cloud, like, heavy? Is Zack not able to carry him? Or do you think as a soldier, Cloud would not weigh much at all?
Well, a muscle is actually heavier than fat, and a human body is just an awkward thing to carry to begin with.
But Cloud also doesn't appear to be just complete dead weight. Like, he's kind of walking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Sword.
Such a ridiculous sword.
When Zack does stuff like that, it makes me wonder, why didn't he have a hard time carrying Cloud? Why did he almost drop Cloud in the beginning, I guess? It's like the first thing that happens is he almost drops Cloud.
I think Cloud just tripped.
Maybe.
Such longing looks. Sorry, I know a lot of our, you know, listeners will enjoy the yaoi bend here, so I might as well hang it up.
Yeah, I can name a couple. You probably shouldn't.
They know who they are.
I know some other people who would love this too.
The samples that have escaped.
Ooh. Oh, here's the Before Crisis plug.
Yep.
Yep. Right out of it.
Literally, that was, you know, the exact sequences of the Turks lifted from BC.
Yeah.
Really?
And the fact, and as we've talked about before, the fact that this is from the Turks' point of view has been used to maybe try and justify some of the discrepancies.
Yeah.
Maybe.
My personal view on this, I've said this before, I'll say it again, even if it's not in continuity, it's important. That's why we keep getting told about it. So
that's true.
Even if this isn't how it happened, this is how somebody thinks it happened.
Yes. Yeah, because how many times and from how many viewpoints have we seen the Nibelheim incident at this point?
Quite a few.
Once per game, except for Dirge of Cerberus.
You know, even in Dirge of Cerberus, they showed us Sephiroth walk into the flames.
The very quick flash of it, yeah. So what exactly is the Last Order? It's not the last order the Turks ever received.
No, it was their last order before going into, to hiding, I believe, actually.
Oh, like the rest of the Turks.
Yeah. It was their last order was to find and bring back, Cloud and Zack alive.
Right.
And that's the titular last order.
And then they split on the BC stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, so look at Sephiroth, so dramatic.
Well, there's only one bit of Before Crisis that actually takes place after this. And that is the Zirconide. Or not the Zirconide, it is Zirconide weapon. Section, which takes place sometime during the course, possibly on the same day the game starts. Yes. It actually shares the same timeline stamp as the start of the game, but I think that's just a more general starting point. Sort of like how Cloud being found got rolled into the same day, even though he was found at least a week beforehand.
Right.
And probably a couple months.
See.
First time I saw this part, my first thought was, hey, they made Tifa a little more reasonably proportioned, but then I remember she's 15 in this scene, and that's a pretty...
I've known 15-year-olds that were more egregiously proportioned in real life, so I've never been bothered by her proportion.
I've known 13 and 14-year-olds who are more proportioned than that.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, more, you know. But I do like the fact that her outfit isn't super skank like in Crisis Core. I mean, I don't even know what that is. Or what the point of it was. It's kind of a little flashy to be, you know, hiking through the mountains.
I don't know. I used to go hiking and I saw a lot of girls.
I need to comment though right here. This is the one thing I like about Last Order is that it shows like somebody from Soldier fighting without a sword.
Yeah.
When else has this happened?
Right, and now because of Crisis Core, you can say it's because of Angeal and his focus on hand-to-hand combat. But at the time, this was the only time we had seen that. And it was just badass.
It always makes me wonder, like, can these people fight without a sword in their hand? Like, you know, I sometimes wonder, what if Cloud somehow lost a sword and was in the middle of a fight? What would he do?
Probably go berserk and kill something.
Yeah, that's what
he does. I mean, can you do hand-to-hand combat, like karate style, like Tifa does?
Sure, they must have full combat training.
Probably not like Tifa does, but I would assume he's at least competent in a, you know, but much more rudimentary.
Yeah, like, Tifa could probably beat him in hand-to-hand combat, but he could probably beat the shit out of us.
Yeah. Well, he definitely...
True.
The man doesn't even have to try. The man is a walking tank.
That's true, he is.
I mean, his in promotional materials, among other things, he was listed as being a Dark Knight, a Berserker, and one other thing when they were toying around with the idea of what his character class might be. So most of those basically wound up being what people were, you know, sort of reflected as. The man just breaks things.
Cloud.
Yeah, and in before Crisis, he actually has a somewhat berserker episode when, you know. But then, in that episode, he actually picks up a sword and goes. You know, he actually uses it artfully, despite his sort of psychotic state. Just kind of amazing.
Yeah,
I need to play that game.
Well, no, you don't, because it's a cell phone game, and no one's created a reasonable emulator for it, and it's a game that's only on a, you know, couple of phones released in Japan and requires server access to, you know, Japanese servers, so you really don't need to play it, but...
I need to know about more what the story is.
Yes, but for that, in this case, I don't think anyone will blame you for simply watching it on YouTube.
Yeah. This is Zach's Braveheart moment.
Freedom!
And then it gets his balls chopped off.
Zach can also shoot lightning out of his ass.
I find it interesting. It's not the first time something like this has happened, but I find it interesting that Sung's little file book on Nibelheim is in English. The Japanese are strange about that. Like, all the articles on Sephiroth and stuff are in English.
I guess I never thought about it. That's true.
The world of Gaia is multilingual. And actually, if you think about it,
that is true. Didn't somebody say that in a interview once that they spoke both English and Japanese in this world?
More
like
than
canon?
That, but yes, it's not just those two.
Storefronts had Japanese symbols in the wall market in Midgar.
Yes, but then there was the Texas sign, for example, in Tifa's bar.
Yeah, they all go to Texas in this world.
Well, Texas is right next to it's right next to Nibelheim. It explains Tifa's outfit so well.
Yes.
Nibelheim is actually part of their Texas,
so
which actually explains a lot about everybody. I think.
Sid talking the way he does, even Cloud's like awkward.
Yeah, Sid's living in Texas. Look at him.
Well, no, think about it.
Talks in English anyway.
Well, no, he speaks with an accent even in Japanese.
Yeah, he's the he's the accent in Japanese. They always turn into a southern accent.
Yeah, Kanseiban.
Right, that's it. Okay. Anyways, and like let's mosey anyone.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a southern backwater kind of thing. Here's Tifa's stupid blowing her element of surprise.
Yeah, if I were her, I would have kept quiet. That worked so well. That worked so well for Cloud later on.
Yeah.
Cloud later capitalizes on that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so what I want to know is why is Tifa not cut in half?
Did
hit him
he
with a backward sword.
He slashed her in the game, but here it almost looks like he just beat her with the hilt.
Well, no, even in the game.
He cut the door down, even though the door is there later when Zack comes.
He actually, but though he does slash, he slashes with the backside. He doesn't bother to turn it around. So he basically just beat her to death with the world's biggest bat.
Oh, okay.
I love this. The guys can't pull the sword out of the ground.
It's like wedged in there with glue or something.
He just shoves his head into the wall and then picks the sword up with no effort at all.
Even Zack.
Right after this bit where he gets the bike comes the Genesis, you know, confrontation finally. Even though they had no idea that this was going to happen.
So did he have this bike before the one he got from Cisnay?
Or
is this closer?
No. I think this is supposed to be the bike that he did get from Cisnay.
Yeah.
But no, Isis Core, they gave it a sidecar.
Right. Well, I wasn't sure if this was a different bike, because when they go under the tunnel, they say he's going to Midgar. So is this, later? I don't know. They've already... Because they never... touched on where he met the old guy with the truck, because he must have already been on the eastern continent.
Yeah, I think what happened was he actually switched vehicles several times, because they mentioned the in one of the memory sequences they mentioned Zack running out of fuel for his bike. Or Zack,
they were on the run for months, right?
Yeah, from I believe September of the year before Final Fantasy. It might be October, but it is some late period in the year before Final Fantasy VII, right up until the end. I think it is the tail end of September is where the literal last moments of Crisis Core are, because late September is his confrontation with Genesis.
Oh wait, this is so dramatic.
Yeah, I
won't ask you to forgive me.
And then does awesome blade beam into the door.
Yeah.
Okay, but what I don't get about here is that they make it look like Sephiroth
just opened.
He just opened the door and shut it behind himself.
Okay, because they make it look like Sephiroth cut a hole in the door.
Well,
and
everything seems like you've cut it when you do the slash to white.
I suppose. Okay,
well,
I also want to know why there's a robot in front of the Genova tank. I've never understood that. It looks kind of cool, but...
Is it supposed to be keeping her alive and then they just designed it?
I think it was... basically like a monitoring station that they just created as a statue just so people would not think. It literally is hiding something in plain sight by making this big ostentatious statue and then putting what's really important behind it.
Yeah,
I
love the way Zack puts the sword just right next to his head here.
Come with me to another place. We can rely on each other.
They do the same shot from the game. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Same camera angle.
There you go. Traitor.
Zui. This is a glorious Zui fight here. You have to wonder
how much less detailed they are when they're flying through the air.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
I like the fact that even though they're hitting, Sephiroth is trying to hit him down, Zack is still going up.
Yeah. You do have to wonder how Zack is managing to come back towards Though really, that's probably the spirit energy flight explanation coming back.
Yeah. The way he just swats Blade Beam out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
But actually, that puts an interesting spin on when Cloud uses it in the Advent Children fight, because he actually has to dodge it at that point.
Yeah, he's gone by the time it hits.
Yeah. While he can, you know, swat aside here, he has to dodge later on. Just showing how far Cloud actually progressed.
Exactly. This Blade Beam must be much more powerful. But this is some great direction, actually, the way the glass just breaks.
Oh, I do like that. Because it's like you don't even know Cloud's coming until... I mean, obviously you do if you play the game.
But you don't know he's coming in that exact point.
If you never played the game, you wouldn't know it was coming.
My mother, Tifa, and my village.
Give it back! And somehow Sephiroth still has a spinal cord.
Not really, but... he's just getting by on the sheer power of fury and angst.
Yeah.
And the shonen hair.
So he knew Sephiroth should be cut in half.
Angst is very powerful in anime.
Oh, I guess it is. Even though this scene right here is not correct, I love it. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's good for showing other people. Like, this part didn't bother me because it's just to show someone else you'd show the anime to that, you know, they've got a history here.
Yeah, and actually, this did happen. We just couldn't tell if it happened like this or somehow else because of the low resolution graphics. The picking her up, taking her to the side happened. The talk here happened. We just didn't know if it was them talking or not.
Yeah, well, I guess I always assumed that...
It was in the live stream.
Yeah, and Tifa wouldn't remember, probably.
Yeah, due to the massive head trauma.
Yeah.
I mean...
Speaking of head trauma.
That could explain it, because that was the only thing that I wondered about, because, I mean, if... that actually really did happen, then that kind of, why would Tifa not remember the events later on?
Just fell down a flight of stairs after getting clubbed with the back of Masamune.
Yeah, she might not even have thought it actually happened. She could have, even if she remembered it, she might have just thought it was her delusion, like her wishful thinking.
I wonder how many scars on that diaphragm in his back.
Yeah. That's this reminds me, for the longest time, people would argue that Tifa had to be horribly scarred, and I kept wanting to point out, well, what about Cloud? I mean, Tifa might have gotten slashed.
Nobody
Cloud
cares
got
about
kabop.
A guy being scarred, because scars on a guy are sexy, but a girl being scarred is something really tragic.
But this noise Sakurai makes here, it's horrible.
It sounds so painful.
Seriously, with the exception of Sephiroth jumping, if there was no wall behind Sephiroth, if he just fell off, I would love this scene.
Yeah.
The way he does that, the way he pulls himself up the sword.
That is a part of...
I kind of wonder what they were trying to do there, though, because he's all like, what are you? And then Cloud's eyes suddenly glow, and I was kind of like, well, I don't know what they were trying to imply there, or how it affects anything, or how it makes sense, because Cloud's eyes shouldn't glow. And besides, the frost shouldn't jump anyways, he should just be thrown.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. It's the way Sephiroth tells people it happened.
Yeah, I jumped! He didn't beat me at all! I jumped! And why are you so, you know, intent on beating him? Because he tells everybody I jumped, the big meanie.
I do love Hojo's Japanese voice acting.
Yeah.
Way better than English.
The way he, and I'm usually an apologist for the English voice acting, but Japanese Hojo's fantastic. The way he, like, trails up at the end of his sentences.
Japanese Hojo is just crazy, crazy, evil, sadistic bastard with absolutely no human conscience whatsoever. You sort of get the feeling from the English voice that he had one and he got rid of it. But you get the feeling from Japanese Hojo that there was never any to begin with. That he's a sociopath through and through.
Yeah.
Absolutely
yeah.
No concept of human empathy.
Well, I think that the English voice you have for Hojo sounds like very generic.
It is the typical mad scientist.
Yeah, like, when I was a little kid, I watched a bunch of cartoons of the same exact villain. And I'm kind of like, that's not really Hojo. But.
I have no intention of getting into an English versus Japanese debate. I'm just saying that what you mentioned about, like, giving a different concept of what the character might be. Like, Sephiroth is a perfect example of how in Japanese he's frightening. And in English, he sounds very, just super confident. And they both apply, they're just different.
Yeah. His Japanese voice is just amazing. It really adds more to him than any other voice ever could. Oh, here's another plug for BC.
Yeah. Here's all these Turks that you've never seen before. Like them, please.
Yeah.
Well, you would have seen them if you actually, you know, were in Japan, because this was...
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Apparently they're popular in Japan.
They are extremely popular.
You have to bring them here.
Because Square Enix is dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Well, of course. But how popular could they be? They don't even have names.
You don't have... Well, one of them does. But you don't need to. All you need is an archetype, and actually, bizarrely, Japan has proved that time and time again with its utterly interchangeable moe characters. So it's good that the interchangeable archetypes aren't utterly indistinguishable moe characters this time.
I guess.
I've always been kind of disappointed that in all the other versions of this truck scene, they took out the line where Zack says, I've got a place I can crash for all. No, wait, her mother lives there. That's
yeah. I really did like that bit, because it was just sort of an oblique reference to the thing he had with Aerith and wanting to bring it back after his, you know, absence.
Yeah.
But that Elmira won't let him live there.
Yeah.
And it's so cute how Zack talks to Cloud, even though Cloud is basically a vegetable that he knows will never respond.
Well, he never would have responded anyways. Let's be honest. This is Cloud.
I think that he would have.
Well, no. I'm not saying Cloud would be inattentive. I'm just saying Cloud is, you know, Captain Shy. You're just, yeah. That'd be good.
I'm just...
Sure, whatever.
If Zack were on his own, would he be talking to himself?
Yes. And carrying on a wonderful conversation, I bet.
I'm not sure.
So, Zack, what should we do? I'm not sure, Zack. Let's do this. That's a great idea, Zack. I'm glad you thought of it.
Oh, but the way that's how Last Order ends, just with the gunshot.
Yeah.
It implies if he gets sniped.
Well,
like, Zack does not get sniped.
Well, here's the thing. I do think he does get sniped, but that's not the end of it. I think the point is that he gets sniped is why he can be taken out. As we know he did.
That's possible.
That's how I always saw it. It wasn't that was the killing blow, but him taking the bullet for Cloud was what kept him from unleashing himself like he did earlier on and in the rest of his, you know, appearances.
I guess.
Francis Ford's explanation was just, look, he's fighting a population of a city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, I think
empty out the entire population of Midgar to fight you.
Personally, I think the both of them work together, because even in the first fight, he's not doing it at his all. He does seem lower for some reason.
Yeah.
Which would be
but
nice
especially at the final battle,
crisis
where he's finally down to the last three-ish, and they strike the killing blow.
And how many bullets it takes.
Yeah.
I can't believe how many times they had to shoot him.
Even in the original Final Fantasy VII,
they unloaded a clip at each into him. And I think they actually loaded, like, three clips each in Crisis Core. So, the three guys take him out, but they make damn sure he's not getting back up.
I mean, it shows you what Genova Infusion does to you.
Yeah, it shows you how seriously they take Soldier, too.
Yeah, well, that too, but just, like, Genova, nigh invincible.
Yeah. Keyword being nigh, of course.
Until Cloud lights up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So that's it, then.
Yep, all of these beautiful
credits. For the livestream.net's first commentary.
Yes.
Even I think we spent most of the time talking about other games.
Honestly, I don't blame us, because the interesting thing... No. Well, Last Order is interesting. What it's most interesting is how it fits in with the other games. Because it really...
That's true.
It's one, it's of a scene that's been in most of the other games. Two, It's got cameos from people who we really are interested but have never seen in the States, the other Turks, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just an interesting sort of, you know, different take. And even if that's all it is, the different take, it's still an interesting thing to sort of look at it and think of how the other things did it, so...
Crisis Core fit some things into it. Advent Children Complete adopted the, you know, the sniper scene.
Yeah, the sniper scene.
Scenes from it have been adopted into other elements.
Yeah. Even if it's been disregarded, it's not been wholly disregarded.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
they did incorporate, you know, Tifa's a little bit more modest outfit that isn't full of bling.
Honestly, the ribbing there, I can sort of see where people are slightly upset by that, but honestly, I grew up in the South. That's nothing. I've seen far worse.
Well, I'm not I don't want to be like a prude or anything, but I just think that her outfit kind of looks kind of ridiculous. I mean, as much as I like Tifa, I think that she's kind of... by bad fashion.
Well, she's 15
Anyways,
years old.
No, we should wrap this
yeah.
up.
She's 15 years old. That's what 15-year-olds wear in, especially in mountain communities. I've gone and visited there. They get pretty outre just because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So. Nice. But anyways, so that's that, I guess.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And
thanks for listening.
Great.
This has been Ryu Shikaze.
This is Tenyo saying thanks for listening. Make sure you check out livestream.net. And that's it.
All right.
Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Sound like I'm from a commercial?
Yes, it does.
Good enough. Alright. We can cut this bit out, or leave it in for humor's sake, but,
maybe at the end.
Yeah. Just shove it in for a stinger.